Hello and welcome back to the Villa Filler podcast. I'm here riding solo today on Easter Sunday. I can only apologise for the delay. Some technical issues last night after the game meant I couldn't record, but here we are. We're here now. And it's been a minute since I've been here with you guys. So first of all, thank you guys for being very patient. International break was very long. Not too much to talk about, really. I mean, Ezri Konsa pocketed Vinicius Jr., Youri Tielemans seemed to trigger the whole of the United Kingdom. Really good, really, really good international break as things go for Aston Villa. However, we're not here for that. We're here to talk about Aston Villa's 2-0 win at home to Wolverhampton Wanderers. And this felt like a really big win, and especially when you consider the run-in that we've got upcoming. We've got a lot of games in not a lot of time. So for us to be able to get 3 points on the board, whilst we've got so many injury issues, not to trigger the Wolves fans that are inevitably watching this as well, because yes, you guys did have a depleted squad. However, I think it's only fair to acknowledge that we definitely did not put our first choice 11 out there. Whether or not it was better than yours or not, that is obviously a completely different argument, but it still wasn't our first choice. But we got the business done. And I think what sort of has impressed me the most about the sort of the Unai Emery era, and I think it's something that I'm always harping on about on the podcast with Dan, because I think you guys will know the Villa Filler podcast is always a glass half full rather than a glass half empty. Dan and I are optimistic, and it's not just because we're delusional. I think, you know, we just like to see the good in everything, and I don't think there's much wrong with that. But, you know, players like Moussa Diaby, players like Nicolo Zaniolo, who've come in, even Diego to a certain extent as well, who I feel like has probably been at times perhaps unfairly criticised, have come in and yet again proven their worth. And I think under Unai, he's improved every single player that's been at the club. And Diaby obviously came in, and I think, you know, we've sort of spoken about it before with expectations being as high as they were, you know, with how good he was at Bayer Leverkusen, and then obviously the understanding that he had with Leon Bailey, we probably expected him to hit the ground running. And I guess he did to a certain extent, but then has sort of struggled a little bit throughout the middle part of the season. This goal for Moussa is massive. You know, again, to sort of reference the international break, he's got some minutes with France as well, so obviously he's feeling confident. The goal's phenomenal. The you know, the sort of the set piece, the cutback from Leon. There's the sort of couple of seconds where you're thinking, Is anyone going to get to it? And Moussa just absolutely hammers it at Jose Sarr, who's, you know, quite far off his line. It was straight at him, but, you know, with how hard he hit it and how quickly he hits it, Sarr stood no chance, really. And I wanted to talk about Moussa as well because, obviously, at the moment it's Ramadan and he is Muslim and he's observing Ramadan, which means he's fasting. And, you know, I'm sure everyone will remember when we sort of came up the playoff final, there was the famous story of how El Ghazi sort of broke his fast for the final. I believe it was just the final. He may have done it for more, but I remember specifically it just being the final. And obviously that's a big thing, you know, culturally, religious belief. For him to do that, that was massive. But, you know, the facts that, you know, these guys, these athletes are conditioned to such a point where they can actually go out there, and it's not like it was even the early kickoff, so he would have potentially ate or drank, you know, maybe 4 or 5 hours before if you're looking at the 6 hours, sorry, if you're looking at the 12:30 kickoff. He had his first bit of water as soon as the sun set, and we're talking about like 6:30, so he's played a full half, and then I think it was about 5 or 10 minutes without food or water. I think it's very important to acknowledge that because, one, he was fantastic in the game just in general. Obviously, he gets the goal. Moussa looked way more comfortable, way more confident. I feel sick if I don't have my Rice Krispie treat before the gym. So just a shout out to Moussa and all the other Muslims who are currently observing Ramadan right now. I think Ryan Aitnouri was another one who broke his fast during the game as well. So, yeah, shout out to you guys. This game, you know, let me take it back. I got a little bit excited there with the goal, but because Wolves sort of, when I say had their chances, I think the main one actually does fall to Ryan Aitnuri, where that ball was sort of put in at the back stick. And this kind of came during a period of the game where Wolves were having a fair bit of the ball out wide and were looking to put crosses in. You know, they had a young lad up front, Leon Chiwome, who I believe is like 18, 19 years old. Very tall player, to be fair. And there was a point in the game where, you know, you're thinking if they can continue to stick the ball into the mixer, God knows what could happen. Thankfully, knock on wood, nothing did. But yeah, Wolves were sort of managing to create these sort of overloads at the back post pretty regularly. And the best of the chances obviously fell to Ryan Aitnuri. It felt like he had an eternity to get the shot off. But Emi spreads himself so well, does what he does. And as Ezri Konsa said in his post-match, it's you expect this from the best goalkeeper in the world. Emi Martinez is the world's number one for a reason. And it's a fantastic save. And, you know, you have to rely on a goalkeeper to sort of keep you in games like this. Because, you know, if Villa go 1-0 down here, the complexion of the game is completely different. You know, we'd be chasing the game for, what, 80, 75 minutes at home to what is, you know, usually a very organised and well-disciplined Gary O'Neill Wolves side. So for us to sort of keep ourselves in it under that early pressure, early doors, I felt was really important. And then after that, Villa just tended to dominate the game. Things looked really comfortable. And again, important to acknowledge, we did this without John McGinn. We did this without Boubacar Kamara. We did this without Matty Cash, who, again, recent, you know, if we go back a month and a half, 2 months, I wasn't convinced by Matty Cash at all, but we're seeing him reach some levels in recent games I genuinely didn't think that he was capable of reaching. Doing this without Emi Buendia, obviously Tyrone Mings as well. So Jacob Ramsey's not there either. So many injuries, and that midfield looked great. It genuinely did. I think my only nitpick would be Morgan Rogers. And again, that's caveated with what a phenomenal dribbler. When this guy has the ball at his feet, I'm excited. I'm on the edge of my seat. I cannot wait to see what happens. He was taking Mario Lemina as if he was on a dog walk. It was easy for him. And obviously, again, Rogers comes in off the international break, having scored a couple goals for the England under-21, so he's going to be feeling confident as well. But there are certainly other aspects of Morgan's game that definitely need to improve defensively. I think he kind of let Moreno down a little bit. It's not the first time I've said that, and I don't think it'll be the last either. He's definitely got a lot to learn there in terms of out of possession. But everybody stepped up and delivered. And I think it's quite telling, really, that we're in a situation where Ollie Watkins goes off at half-time and Villa Park wasn't fazed by that at all. And albeit we didn't necessarily know the extent of the injury, and I still don't think we do now. I think Unai and the team are going to assess that today. But there wasn't that sort of panic in the stadium, which I think there usually would have been. And that's sort of how you know there's something bigger at play here, right? What we're doing right now, everything we're going through, the trust that we have in the process, in Unai Emery, is unrivaled. And I actually felt like this was a game that suited John Duran to a T, really, because I felt the longer this sort of stayed at 0-0, and obviously I know we score in the 35th minute, but you know, it's a tie game still at 1-0 even before you go and get the second goal. I felt the longer this game stays as close as it is score wise, the scrappier it's going to get, you know, with it being a local rivalry and all that, and the sort of the history between Gary O'Neill and Unai Emery after the game at Molineux as well. You just kind of felt like it would sort of turn nasty. And I sort of look at it, especially, you know, without John McGinn or someone like that, and it was to his detriment in the Spurs game, obviously, where he goes and gets himself sent off. I was looking at the team and I'm thinking, who in there is going to get themselves stuck in? And obviously, it was none other than Captain Chaos, John Duran. I'm convinced this man's going to score from a slide tackle one day. I think the only other striker I can remember that loves a slide tackle as much as John Duran is Wayne Rooney. And they both sort of play with that petulant anger that's, you know, obviously served Rooney so well. And again, I thought Duran was great. I thought his hold-up play has improved exponentially. He's definitely can improve in how he maybe disguises a little elbow, a little foul, a little kick or whatever. That obviously comes with experience, so it's sort of hard to criticise there as well. But again, I felt like we needed this physicality against Wolves' back three. You know, Kilman, very tall, very good player. Totti and Bueno as well. They're both accomplished centre-halves and fit Wolves' system very well. So I felt like we definitely could have done a bit more to test them. And I think Duran did that. And it's the same with Zaniolo as well. You know, there was all this sort of discourse over the international break about his comments saying he wants to move back to Serie A and how much he loved Roma and how he'd never join Lazio, which good because fuck fascism. But I feel like people were sort of getting angry at the wrong things, because it's definitely fair to say that Nicolo has flattered to deceive. His loan move to Villa hasn't gone as he or all of us would have hoped it did. But at the end of the day, he's a loan player, so he's going to be looking to the future, and I don't really see anything that's wrong with that, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, with the West Ham game, he obviously clutches up and gets us the equaliser there. And in this game as well, he had little flashes of brilliance, couple shots on goal. Generally, a little bit clunky. He likes to take everything on his left, doesn't he? It'd be great if he could work on shooting with his right. But, again, with Zaniolo, you're adding physicality, you're adding high, you're adding that element of unpredictability. And to be able to sub on two players like Duran and Zaniolo to create the chaos and sort of relish in that is a really good sort of plan B, or is this a great way to sort of see out the game, especially with how it went as well. So shout out to Nicolo, shout out to John Duran, and shout out to Ezri Konsa. What a finish. Was it a cross? Probably. He will absolutely take that. And I was saying to my dad as we were walking out of the game, I feel like, I can only remember two goals that Ezri Konsa scored at Villa Park. You guys correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. There's the goal that obviously Tyrone Ming scored that deflected off the bottom of Ezri's boot at Watford at home, the first season back in the Premier League. Wasn't really allowed to celebrate that one much. And the same with this one, because I think he thinks it came off John Duran, which obviously it did, but that was after it had already crossed the line. So hopefully next time Ezri can score at Villa Park and get the celebration that he deserves. But man, I mean, get a defender who can do anything. People were sort of, again, you know, when Ashi got injured during the international break, people were like, oh my God, like, it's the end of the world. You know, the injury crisis has got worse, which again, to a certain degree, I have to share the same worry. But the idea of people being worried that we have to play Ezri Konsa at right back seems a bit ridiculous to me. He's phenomenal. And it's crazy because if you guys listen to us, you know, way back, we're talking the first season back in the Prem, when Dino was playing Konsa at right back, Dan and I were like, what the hell is going on? This is dreadful. We've got El Mohamedy. We've got, you know, such and such. Let's not do this. But again, it's the sign of what a good coach can do with his players. He's elevated Konsa's game to another level, and it's a fantastic goal. And then we're just able to see the game out. And, you know, I think there was probably a period in the second half as well where maybe just before the Konsa goal where we didn't necessarily have great control of the game. There was a few sort of chances, free kicks, corners, but Wolves ultimately weren't able to capitalize. And sorry Wolves fans, that is the difference between what is a team that is fighting for the Champions League and one that is, in all honesty, just a mid-table team. That is the reality of it. Has Gary O'Neill done a good job? Yes. Are you guys going to get European football? Absolutely not. Mind the gap, Wolverhampton. But guys, let me know your thoughts in the comment section down below. I hope you guys are having a fantastic Easter Sunday, Easter Bank Holiday weekend. And again, shout out to all the guys doing Ramadan right now, especially the athletes and the footballers, because that must be really hard. And hopefully, I mean, with the City game, it should be dark, so hopefully Musa can eat and drink before the game, which would obviously be very beneficial. But yeah, Dan and I will be back to preview that. Don't you guys worry. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple, let us know. Smash a like. Follow us. Socials, everything you need is in the link in the description down below. So yeah, like, comment, subscribe, and up the Villa.